WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Federal prosecutors today in Chicago have rested their case against Juan Espinoza Martinez. He's a Chicago man accused of offering $10,000 for the murder of U.S. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino. A Homeland Security investigator testified at trial today about messages that were extracted from Espinoza Martinez's cell phone. Prosecutors argued the messages show Espinoza Martinez saw Bovino and immigration agents as a threat to his community. Prosecutors also suggested he was frustrated that nobody was standing up to Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The defense today countered by asking the investigator if he had cherry-picked evidence to fit the government's theory, but the prosecution and the judge pushed back. Cook County officials worry more people will become sick as they're pushed out of SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Eligibility requirements are changing for SNAP on February 1st. People who don't meet the new standards can have benefits for 3 months, but just once every 3 years. Shannon Andrews works with Cook County Health and says food and health are directly related.
Stable access to nutritious food certainly impacts hunger, but it also impacts blood sugar, blood pressure, cognitive development, immune function, and just overall resilience.
New groups of people, including veterans and many able-bodied people, will now have to work or volunteer at least 80 hours a month to keep their SNAP benefits or get an exemption. The Chicago City Council has approved a ban on certain hemp products throughout the city. This is an effort to crack down on bad actors selling intoxicating hemp without a license. The ordinance makes carve-outs for lotions and drinks, but not for hemp-infused gummies that some people use for health benefits, like reducing inflammation. The ordinance passed on a vote of 32-16. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson opposes the measure and did not rule out a veto after today's vote. Chicago is preparing to host UNESCO's International Jazz Day in April, and one local star says the event arrives at the exact right time. My colleague Courtney Kippers has more.
Chicago-born jazz singer Kurt Elling is helping to chair this year's event. At an announcement yesterday, Elling said the celebration comes as we, quote, need it the most.
Because jazz isn't just about individual brilliance. It demands rare collaboration, individual skill, joined with empathetic listening, active mutual support, and collective risk-taking.
The event will feature a month of programming, culminating in an April 30th concert. Courtney Kippers, WBEZ News.
You're listening to The Rundown. More than 170,000 Illinois residents are behind on their student loan payments. These people are at risk of having their wages garnished now that the Trump administration plans to restart collections on federal loans in default. Our higher education reporter, Lisa Kurian-Phillip, talked about it with my colleague, Claire Lane.
So walk us through, maybe slowly for some of us that are having trouble grasping this, what this decision, what does it mean for Illinoisans who are behind on their payments?
Yeah, so basically what this means is that, when a borrower hasn't made payments for about 9 months or more, with 30 days notice, the federal government can work with your employer to take up to 15% of the disposable income in your paycheck. So the government hasn't been doing this since about the start of the pandemic, so for nearly 6 years. But last year, the Trump administration announced that they would start doing this again, involuntary collection measures such as seizing your paycheck, but also potentially seizing your tax refund. They had planned to start this practice again this month, but last Friday they decided to delay that. They still plan to do it at some point, but it's unclear when they will start seizing people's wages and seizing their tax refunds.
So the government sort of acting as a bank, going out and saying, hey, this is what you owe us, to people who at this point doesn't seem like they're really ready to hear that. And who are those people? Who would this primarily impact?
Yeah, so two of the groups who would be most impacted by this are Black borrowers and borrowers who just have associate's degrees and didn't go past that. That's according to a survey that was put out this past fall. But really, I mean, this action could be really disastrous for all kinds of borrowers who are already having a really hard time because costs of groceries, housing, rent, you know, all of the basic needs that people are already trying to meet are already up.
How can people tell if they're one of these folks at risk of defaulting?
So before you hit default, your loans go into a status called delinquency. If you miss your payment deadline by one day, your loans become delinquent. And then, you know, kind of enters different stages at that point. If you miss your payments by 90 days, your status then gets reported to major credit bureaus. So then you have a hard time taking out credit cards. And also, if you're looking to rent an apartment or buy a house, you know, your credit score has taken a hit. So one way that, you know, experts suggest you can prevent this is just by making sure all of your contact information is up to date with both your loan servicer. So that's the company who administers your federal student loan, that your contact info is up to date with both them and then the federal government as well, the federal student aid. That way you don't miss updates on your loan status.
This isn't like you get an email from the restaurant that you missed your reservation. You're going to have to pay a $10 fee. This is right. Like, no, you can no longer then eat at the restaurant or eat in any restaurant. That's the scale of the threat.
Yeah.
So if you're one of these people, what should you do if your student loans maybe are already in default?
Yeah. So your option at that point is you can pay off your whole balance plus a bunch of fees that the federal government tax on. A lot of people are not going to be in the position to do that. So at that point, you should contact your loan servicer right away. You can also and you should also contact the Education Department's Default Resolution Group. And ideally, you do this before your loans get moved into collection. And you can talk through next steps. One of the options is loan rehabilitation, where you basically have to make 9 on-time payments determined by the Default Resolution Group in a 10-month period, or you can consolidate your loans, and that's basically like putting your loans into a new loan and putting it back into good standing so you can kind of have a fresh start, basically.
That was WBEZ higher education reporter Lisa Corian-Phillip. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Claire.
Weather, a breezy day, a slight chance of snow, high in the low 30s. Windy tonight, a little bit of snow with a low in the teens. And Thursday, sunny and cold, high in the mid-20s. But watch out because it'll become bitterly cold Thursday night. That's going to lead to an extreme cold watch overnight and until noon on Friday. The National Weather Service is warning of dangerously cold wind chills Friday, as low as 35 degrees below zero. Conditions that could cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 10 minutes. Take care. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.